The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you at KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. It's the Buckmaster Show. My friend Tom Callahan is in the control room just a few feet away from me on the other side of the glass. Tom is engineering and producing the program today on this Thursday, the 23rd of January, 2020. We broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The complete archive of all of our programs is there, so it's available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, the live line number is 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to the vice mayor for the city of Tucson. He is Ward 2 Democrat Paul Cunningham. Paul, how is the new year treating you so far?
Oh, Bill, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the show.
Things going well for you?
Say again?
Hello? Are things going well for you?
Oh, things are wonderful for me. It's been a great new year. We're back at it. Nice to see the Wildcats get a couple wins last weekend. Nice to see the women's team get a couple dubs and get back into the top 25. I think that, all things are looking up in Tucson.
I want to talk about the Tucson Police Department, Paul Cunningham, notifying the federal government that the police department will withdraw from the participation in Operation Stone Garden. That's that border security grant program. The department, Chief Magnus, says the program runs counter to their mission. Was this a decision that was made without the city council's knowledge?
No, I didn't hear about it till after the fact. We can probably intervene if we don't want to give up the money. The real question is that we didn't. Yes, they gave it up. They didn't apply for renewal. It's a renewable grant. They didn't apply for renewal, and they applied for some other grants in lieu of that. From what I understand, I would have preferred that they consulted the council first, but. I understand some of the reasoning, but I don't really like giving up that overtime.
It's $600,000 that's being given up, Paul Cunningham. And again, this some would argue, be brought before the council to make the decision. And I have not seen really much reaction from the council. So this is kind of the first we're hearing, I think, in the community from you today about this. And it sounds like you feel the council should have been notified.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big decision. It's going to be it affects how people view the city. A lot of it's perception based. Again, I'm not interested in giving up overtime money. But at the same time, if it's replaced by federal dollars, by other federal dollars, I can live with that. The big controversy in this situation was that the way I understand it, again, I haven't been fully briefed, was that we didn't renew the grant partially because we wanted to be able to set aside $200,000 for the humanitarian piece, and that was refused. And so it just made it impossible to manage the grant for the command at that point. So that's how I understand it so far. Like I said, I haven't been fully briefed, but I'm going to put out a newsletter that's very comprehensive about how I understand it. I would have much rather preferred consultation with the city council, but things coincided. You had a new council at the same time the decision not to renew the grant was made.
Tony Archibald is the president of the Tucson Police Officers Association, and he says, Paul Cunningham, the loss of this Stone Garden money is bad for public safety in our community. Do you think it could have an impact on public safety?
Absolutely. It absolutely can. If the federal dollars aren't replaced through another funding source, absolutely. Because remember, every dollar counts. Every dollar gives us an extra officer on the street. Every dollar gives us an extra piece of equipment. Every dollar gives us extra training time. We're struggling to catch up as it is. So that's why I totally understand what Tony's talking about. On the other side, if the money comes with so many strings or federal grants that we don't, there are other federal grants we don't apply to for in all different departments because the money comes with too many strings. We don't have the proper infrastructure to manage it. They want us to spend the money on things that we don't want to make, that we'd rather have those resources for something else. So that kind of thing happens for all jurisdictions around the country. The way it's been explained to me or so far is that that was kind of the case in this situation. But again, I want to make sure I'm speaking with the facts before I make any type of controversial comments about it. I'm not a big fan of giving up law enforcement money of any type, but at the same time, if this was something that was burdensome to command, you're going to have the tale of two discussions. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people losing their overtime, and you're going to have command saying, hey, we couldn't even manage the grant right, and we were in danger of violating it all the time. So we have those two issues, and it'll be all about the details.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly has called and wants to ask you a question, Councilman. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Paul, it's Jim Kelly. Hey, listen, how come you're not as worried about cops spiking their retirements with overtime like Chuck Huckleberry is for the county?
Look, man, I guess I'd say that for the cops that are retiring or allegedly spiking their retirement and all that, this is my answer to that. When they took that job, that was what was promised them.
Anything more?
Well, I think that's I think it'd be really unfair to say to police officers, hey, this is your retirement plan, but now 20 years later, you can't do that. I mean, is that how we treat people that are first responders?
Talking about public safety as we get into 2020, is this a relatively safe city, Tucson, Arizona, Paul Cunningham?
I think, again, our crime rate ebbs and flows. I will absolutely be the first to disclose that 18 was not a good year. The preliminary numbers for 19 are in. I think I'm pretty confident it's going to demonstrate a much better year crime-wise. But that doesn't mean 20 will be a good year or bad year. You just don't know. In our town, we fluctuated from a low of 33 murders, 33 homicides, and then spiked at 51 in the last 5 years. That's like a 40% difference. And all it takes is one mass shooting or one incident that can change it. Also, the year that we had that low number in homicides, we were up in aggravated assaults and down in burglaries or vice versa. So it ebbs and flows all the time. I'll say this. We bottomed out at under 794 police officers. And see, if you include our CSOs, who are awesome, by the way, responding to calls, and 783, if you included light duty, and there were some other things, we're well over 900. I think my goal was to try to get to 1,000 by the end of calendar year 2020. I think we're going to come up a little short, but it's going to be close. So, 911 commissioned by the end of 2020, something like that. So I think we're going to be a little short. I know if you include our training, we're well over 900 right now, but we've got some program retirements that need to be factored in. And we have a new academy starting on Monday the 20th, so a week from after this weekend, we have an academy that starts, and I think we have 35 recruits in that academy, but we also have some program retirements over the next few months, so it'll be interesting to see how the numbers shake out.
And you have seen, did I hear you say you've seen some preliminary numbers for the 1919 crime stats, and the picture is considerably brighter than it was in 2018. Did I hear you say
that? Yeah, the 2018 stats were brutal, man. I mean, we went back into a couple of lists we'd been off a couple years. You know, we had a low crime year in like 15 years. And then we were minuscule, kind of ebb and flow up in 16, 17. Then 18, we had some bigger numbers. And then 19, I think we had some better numbers. So, again, it ebbs and flows. But I'd like to believe that our police officers do a great job in keeping our city safe.
All right. Before we go to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, which I need to do in the next minute or so, quick answer on this, the little scooters, the around downtown. Is that program ending soon?
Well, we have a pilot until March, so when it goes through the pilot, we'll reevaluate the program. We'll figure out whether or not the pluses outweigh the minuses, whether or not we're going to have good revenue sources, and whether or not they're safe enough and wanted enough for as alternative transportation. So there's two sides to every story. The interesting one on this one is this is the first one I've ever seen where age is really the deciding factor on whether people like them or don't like them.
Hmm. Okay. Have you ridden one of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love them.
And has there been a major accident involving these?
Not that I'm aware of. I have not heard of a major accident, but if you're going to tell me that they're still a risk, they're not a risk. If you want me to say they're not a risk, that's impossible to say. They're absolutely a risk. The wrong person at the wrong time, somebody's going to get it. Yes, there is no way to manage that risk and say that. That's like saying that nobody's going to get hit walking across the street. Nobody's going to get hit riding their bicycle. That we have a pedestrian death problem, and this definitely adds to that risk. So there's that piece.
Okay.
But you have to decide whether or not that risk is managed and worth it or not worth it. So those are the thoughts.
All right.
And you go the other way too. Hey, look, one way to have less car accidents is to have less cars on the road. This saves some people some trips who don't feel like taking their car somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a very double-edged sword. There's definite arguments to both sides. The clutter on the sidewalk along Fourth Avenue, I totally understand that gripe, and they're right. The Historic Coalition folks and FAM is right about that piece. But and Kazachik's been very, very vocal about that piece of it. But at the other side, we've got situations where bus stops are farther away. We've got situations where people rely on bus/scooters to get place. We got situations where people can't afford to drive because of insurance, or they carry an SR-22, or they have a past DUI, and this gives them an opportunity to get place.
All right. Well, let me tell you about a place there is no risk. You've been up to Mona's Danish Bakery.
Mona's Danish Bakery. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Owner and chief baker, Steve, my goodness, this man is just like what an artist he is with pastries. I've been on this peanut butter cookie kick. These things are that he's serving up. Tom Callahan, big smile on Tom when I mentioned peanut butter cookie. But Tom, he's serving up these peanut butter cookies that are the size of a Frisbee. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you cut it into pie slices and save it for the next meal. But that's rare for me to do. I consume that cookie all in one sitting. They're open right now for lunch at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve also wants to have me tell all of our listeners, come by for breakfast. They're open at 6:30 each morning. The grill's all fired up. They've got a beautiful breakfast. MonasDanishBakery.com is their website. They're also at BuckmasterShow.com. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. A very busy news hour as usual. We have the Vice Mayor for the City of Tucson, Ward 2 Democrat, Paul Cunningham, with us on the live line. It's very difficult for Paul to break away from his duties at school to come visit us here in the studio. So we do appreciate our monthly visits that have to be done telephonically. Matt has been waiting very patiently through the break, and we're going to take Matt's call and see what he has on his mind. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Vice Mayor. As you may know, on Tuesday, the Star published a report regarding the city seeking an amendment from the Environmental Protection Agency to, I guess, stop an agreement that was pre-existing where approximately 5,800 acre-feet of water per year has to be served to Tucsonans from the Irvington treatment plant. Could you talk about, you know, what's the time frame on this amendment?
Sure.
Is water right now coming from that facility people? And why the issue is a PFAS? Thank you. Bye.
So, thank you, Matt. So the reason that we're all set up, it's some of this is executive session, but the bottom line is that we have some PFAS and PFOAs, which are basically remnants of chemicals from firefighting foams, aircraft treatment that have hit some of the wells in that area. So we've shut down all those wells, and we have modified the cleaning process in there, but to ensure that none of that water is served, we can't guarantee that output from Urban. And that's just, that's the bottom line. So that's why we're asking for that amendment. And it's a very strategic move by Tucson Water. It's using forethought so that we are not in a situation where basically keeping people safe by violating an act that's very well intended in ensuring our water supply, but it's not really helping us if the water we're serving doesn't meet the contaminant standards set by EPA. And so that's kind of why that's going on. And I don't know what's going to happen with the TARP. I think that ultimately we may augment that through our recharge program. We may augment that through recycling it back through. We may build another treatment plant, depending if it can be bankrolled by the Air Force. So there's some options there. But for now, we can't risk, even if it's below the national standard. In other words, it's less contaminated with the national standard says safe. We don't really want to serve it. We want to be sure that the water we're serving is the safest and cleanest water we can.
All right, let's go to the live line again. And a follow-up question concerning water from caller Ingrid. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hello. I don't know if I missed anything during the screening process, but the contaminated well water, okay, that's been shut down. But where else is this water spreading out into? Is it continuing to contaminate the water table, for instance?
Well, yeah,
what is happening with all this contaminants?
Great question, Ingrid. And so what's up is there is a plume that we've detected, and we actually send workers, we send personnel out over the plume on basically a weekly basis to, it's really a daily basis, but every spot where the plume is to be detected, we run samples at every single well so that it creates basically a perimeter around the plume so we know how far the plume is seeped out or not seeped out. For now, the plume is contained within the vicinity of the south part of the Tucson Airport, and we're not serving water from any water generated in that well or any water near the that's near enough the plume that could be at risk. We're not serving any of that, and we think we'll be able to not only clean the plume, but we also believe that we can treat some of the water out of the plume properly so that it is servable, though I'm not sure if we'll actually ever serve it.
So bottom line, Paul Cunningham, about this once tainted water, what's being served to the residents of Tucson and Pima County is clean water. Can we say
that? Most of it is I'd say almost 95% of it is treated CAP. Mm-hmm. It's CAP that has been dumped into a well nowhere near the more like west of the Tucson Mountains, miles and miles and miles and miles away and downstream from where the plume is. It has naturally recharged into our wells there, and then it's brought out of our well, and that recharge has been going on for like 12 years. So this is basically 12-year-old recharged tap water, and that's like 95% of what gets wheeled. And that, again, to excuse my numbers on these, it could be a substantial majority. Let me go there because I don't want to give a bad statistic, but it's a substantial majority of that's what we're pumping. And then we have some wells like out on the east side, north of the airport in northern Tucson, near the Rialto, that we still use them because they naturally recharge themselves and they meet that, you know, there's enough recharge every year that the water table underneath isn't dropping. So we use some of the few wells that are available around Tucson that meet their annual recharge. We use those wells too.
All right. I've only got about 2 minutes before we go to our CBS network break. That's a hard break. But what about this proposal to double the impact fees? Is that going to get anywhere?
Well, so, okay, first of all, we're not doubling all the impact fees. We're doubling one specific category of impact fees. And it's mostly on retail, which around the country there is a surplus of retail development. If I see another empty big box store, I'm going to vomit. So the bottom line is that that's where the proposed impact area is. Cities and communities are struggling. You know, the fees are actually going down on, like, of the 11 different categories of impact fees there are, they're going down in 10 of them. And even better, I'm the guy who isn't, I'm never going to give up my park impact fees. I'd rather lower that impact fee as long as I can put some park impact fees for that commercial too. So, you know, impact fees is always like a hypersensitive discussion with people.
Oh yeah.
But the bottom line is that as long as you are allowed to program those into doing what you need to serve the citizens properly, it's fine.
All right.
For me,
Vice Mayor, go ahead.
We need those fees.
Okay.
For me, I think we need a lot of those fees.
All right. And congratulations. I understand your wedding anniversary was this week. Is that correct?
Monday night. We did a little staycation and dinner at sushi. It was great.
So you had a nice dinner?
Wonderful.
Very good. All right, Paul Cunningham, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for joining us. We'll look forward to our next visit.
Bill, thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham, the vice mayor for the city of Tucson. Coming up next, all sorts of border news. Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico contributor, is next on the Buckmaster Show. But we do take a hard break right here to hear what's going on nationally, internationally from CBS News. Then the Buckmaster Show sponsors, then back with you for the second half of Buckmaster.
CBS News Special Report. Punctuating their case with video clips from the House impeachment inquiry, Democrats continue to argue to the Senate for President Trump's removal. House Manager Jerry Nadler.
Everyone except President Trump and his lawyers agree that presidents can be impeached for abuse of power. The president's position amounts to nothing but self-serving constitutional nonsense, and it is dangerous nonsense at that.
Texas Republican Ted Cruz says the managers keep going over the same ground.
They've been making the same arguments. This seems to be a time for Adam Schiff and the House managers to lecture the American people.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer suggests there's a bit of hypocrisy in how Republicans are dealing with the impeachment case.
This argument that they heard nothing new when they vote against new evidence repeatedly rings very, very hollow.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. And talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Speaking of green things, that's our go-to nursery in town. My goodness, my roses are starting to look really good. Nice winter rains we've been getting kind of off and on. Of course, the roses prefer the natural moisture to the garden hose variety. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com, for an upcoming workshop session. I believe it's this Sunday, so they've got all the info at Green Things AZ. And don't forget Zocalo, they're there as well. Great merchandise from Latin America, beautiful hand-carved merchandise at Zocalo. That's all part of Green Things, and their website is zocalovillage.com. Let's go now to the live line. Keith Rosenblum covers Mexico for the Buckmaster Show. He's our contributor, one of two dozen contributors on the program, and going up fast to the top of the list, as they say. How are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing well, thank you, and always grateful for the opportunity to enlighten the masses.
Yeah, there you go. how's that cruise doing? I think the launch, the first cruise of the Baja with that really historic retrofitted cruise ship, it looks really nice. I think they call it the Astoria, has set sail. Do you have any numbers on how they're doing?
No. And you know something? Actually, Bill, the reporter in Keith has failed on this occasion.
Yeah, you have. You dropped the ball here on the...
Well, it has rare. Every so often I surface to do something properly. So failure is kind of a way of life. In this case, in particular, cruise companies keep things to themselves.
Sure.
So the best way to know is to count the people getting on, on or off.
That's right.
However, I pledge that before I even dare to make an appearance on the show again, I will have what the numbers were. I will say this. I did call. I did ask about advanced bookings, and I was told, looking great on a number of occasions. And so I don't know if they actually looked great or not. I do know that the cost of the cruise dropped by a couple $100s. And so that might have been a clue that they weren't as great as the company, it's a British company, was heralding. But I pledge to find out, and we will know. And there was also, I believe it's three other cruises. It's either two or three others that are already planned.
Oh, good.
And so advanced bookings were also a giveaway. And by the way, there's one guy who's called the Cruise Guy, who's one of the media, he is the guru of all cruises in North America. And I called him to find out about whether this company is going to make things go on in the long run. 5 years ago, he said, no way on earth would they ever do it, that it might be good for regional trips, you know, excursions for a couple of days. This was a really mammoth effort because it was 11 days and it covered both sides of Baja. We'll see. I'm intrigued by it. I hope they were successful. I want to do it myself. But 11 days in Baja, in places like Mulegé, Santa Rosalia, places that are not Orthodox tourist destinations, was really ambitious.
Yeah, I really want this to be a success because I think it's really good for the region and tourism. Is it true the city of Nogales now has new leadership with their city manager department?
Well, this is interesting. Yeah, you probably know that I've been working with the city of Nogales, Mexico. Nogales, Mexico, we're talking maybe 400,000 people. And my job has been working with Mayor Jesus Puyol on economic development. The two cities always have to work together, and you'd be amazed at how little they actually speak to each other. For somebody that's been both covering this as a reporter and now working from the inside, it's remarkable how little contact there is. Huh. And it's funny because you think they would have to, especially because Nogales, Arizona, depends almost entirely on Mexicans, and most from Nogales, Mexico, for their operating budget. Most of the operating budget for Nogales, Arizona, comes from the sales tax, which I think is 2%. Well, I'm not sure the percent. I think it's 2%, which is paid by the Mexican shopper. There's other types of taxes as well, and there's lots of other sources of revenue. But anyway, it's been remarkable to me how little contact there is. You'd think they would get together for joint city council meetings or have almost have somebody stationed to get you on the other side to tell them about developments. They have to work on the wastewater issue together. There's so many things that are that ought to be city to city and really aren't. Anyway, I saw this. I haven't met the gentleman yet. His name's Ed Johnson. He's, I read this in the Nogales International. He is retired military, worked for Maricopa County in procurement and acquisition department for 20 years, and he was just named city manager of Nogales, Arizona, which is executive, really. I mean, obviously, the mayor is the figurehead leader, but the guy who's salaried to the tune of, I think, $130,000 a year is and calls the shots is the city manager, and this is Ed Johnson, who from his bio is a really interesting guy from the south. No connections to Nogales or Santa Cruz County, which for those of us who cover either living in the area or working with them, it's amazing to have somebody from the outside ever in a position of authority in either Nogales, Arizona, or Nogales, Mexico. We forget, living in a place like Tucson, which is where we have mayors and council members and people in industry, what a cross-section of the United States or the world we are, and lots of people from all over. Mm-hmm. In places like Nogales, it is highly government. If you look at the Nogales, Arizona City Council, and if you look at the Nogales, Mexico City Council, it's called Cabildo, you'll see people who are entrenched. They have just been there for an eternity. And everybody knows everybody, and you will rarely see people hired from the outside. So give a nod of approval to Nogales, Arizona, for having gone outside of Nogales and outside of Pima County, too, to find somebody to administer the city.
Yeah, this sounds highly unusual that they actually are going to the outside, and it won't hurt to get some somebody take a fresh look at what's going on in Nogales. Before I wrap it up, I've only got 2 minutes. Do you have any news about the Mariposa port? Isn't there a wide bypass widening project? Is that underway?
I will do it in less than 2 minutes. Mariposa Road is Arizona 186. I can never remember the number. Anyway, very shortly, you have huge widening of Mariposa from, if I'm correct, it's from I-19 all the way to the port of entry. And on the Mexican side, you have the Mexicans just announced 3 days ago that they're spending $40 million to widen the what they call the periférico. It's the road, like the bypass that goes around Nogales, Mexico. So little by little, they're going to be doing things to relieve traffic congestion on both sides. Mariposa Road, yes, and that begins right away. Periférico in Nogales, Mexico, yes, and that begins right away. The big issue for produce industry and others is they, right as you get to the port of entry coming northbound, right as you approach the U.S., you always have a bottleneck because they just don't have the space to create the sentry lane, which is for, you know, preferred travelers and for the produce trucks.
All right. Thank you very much, Keith Rosenblum. Hope the new year for you and your family is off to a good start.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, Keith Rosenblum. Bye. We talked to Keith about Mexico here on the Buckmaster Show. When we continue on the Buckmaster Show, your vote, your voice. This is our project that we are involved with not only at the Buckmaster Show, but KVOI. We're interviewing candidates. It is that season 2020. Vic Williams is up to the plate, Republican Pima County Supervisorial candidate in District 1. One right after the break.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I send a lot of our listeners over that beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. I strongly suggest before you make the trip, check out southwestnewmexico.org. Everything you need to know about places to stay and all sorts of recreation ideas. I mean, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument certainly is a destination in itself. southwestnewmexico.org. Now we continue with Your Vote, Your Voice. It's a project that we have launched here at KVOI and on the Buckmaster Show, interviewing as many of the local candidates as possible. Right now we focus on the District 1 Pima County Supervisor's race. Vic Williams is with me. I haven't seen Vic in a while. Interviewed him many times when he served two terms at the state legislature when I was doing the TV show. And then in 2012, Vic ran also as in District 1 for Supervisor. Vic, good to see you.
Hey, Bill. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. As you know, I'm not a career politician. It's been away from the spotlight for 7 or 8 years, and you know, the voters set the agenda as far as I'm concerned in District 1.
Tell me what you've been up to.
Well, I raised a son. He's now 18 years old, working up in Camp Verde on a ranch, and also been doing real estate redevelopment here in Arizona for the last 7, 8 years, and developed 4 successful businesses, and I'm real proud of that. And something I needed to do after serving in the legislature for that time is to, you know, work on my own personal finances, create more wealth for my family.
So your business is doing well. There was no need for you, Vic Williams, to get involved with this. I mean, there was not this pressing need, well, I got to do this. But what was the catalyst when you heard that Allie Miller had decided 2 terms would be enough, that you decided you'd give it a shot?
Well, we need a solid conservative voice on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And also we need a voice from a business standpoint about what our vision should be in Southern Arizona. You know, the 17 years I've been here in Pima County, I've never seen a Republican day in and day out talk about our needs. You know, we're going to go from 7 million people to 10 million people by mid-century. And we really don't have a good, strong voice for the business community and for economic and regional development down here. And that's something I'm excited about working on and working towards. And that's really the job of the county supervisor, is to promote the county and put together interest from business to voters throughout their district, and seeing that we have a vision and that works for Southern Arizona. And we're not really hitting our potentials here. We're far from hitting our potentials.
So much emphasis with Supervisor Miller, Vic Williams, has been on roads, but you're saying perhaps this district, leadership in this district, the next person needs to concentrate not only on roads. Yes, they're important, but I hear you saying, let's remember the business community.
Well, what I'm saying is that roads and infrastructure is hugely important because we cannot prosper without them. Mm-hmm. But also we need to be taking a look at how do we bring more industry, you know, the right kind of development to the right areas. You take a look at my district up in Oro Valley, Marana, and so forth. We have the bioscience industries up on Innovation Park, which is well-suited for that neck of the woods. But also we need to take a look at what's going down on Ina Road and the redevelopment of the Foothills Mall. And those are key and critical components. And as we get those working in a way that we'll start bringing in tax revenues, that's going to help us fund the roads that we so desperately need repaired in this county. But also we need to show some constraint in our spending, or say reprioritize our spending in Southern Arizona, Pima County, to ensure that these roads get fixed, which I don't know why the current board and over the last 10, 20 years, why we're not spending the money that should be spent on road preservation.
Were you surprised that Supervisor Miller decided 2 terms would be enough?
A little bit, but also I understand. I'm going to surmise, you know, I spent 4 years in the Arizona State Legislature, a very conservative legislature, and we did a lot of work, but also to get those battles done, it takes a toll on a person. And Allie sat there and went up against the powers to be and Pima County here for 8 years, and that takes a toll on a person emotionally, physically, psychologically, and I can see someone not, say, willing to carry that on, you know, forward, because, you know, that's a difficult task. So I'm surprised, but also it's understandable.
In your run in 2012, what's different this time?
Well, in 2012, I was serving in the state legislature, and from January all the way till May, I had to serve up at the Capitol. Didn't have the opportunity to go out.
Really didn't have the chance to put a real campaign the way you would like it, right?
Yeah, and I'm a grassroots campaigner. I walked to thousands of doors. My first campaign in 2008, listened to the voters, talked to them at their doorsteps, about 8,300, 8,500 homes, talked about 3,200, 3,400 constituents right at their front door, listening to what was important to them, and that is what set my campaign strategy and, you know, and things that I pushed in the state legislature. I wasn't able to do that in 2012. I was serving in the legislature, and it's tough going from one position to another. You know, right now I'm out there talking with voters. I've been to several hundred homes, listening to people, and it's pretty clear what they're looking for.
Have you had some events?
Yeah, we've done a couple of small events, but I think you'll start to see those move. It's early in the campaign season, and I think as people see the Democratic primary and some of the other things that go on and start seeing what's going to happen here politically, and as we move into the political season, you're going to see that.
You know, you running 8 years ago, social media has changed the ball game, hasn't it?
Yeah, and for the better, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, we're not dependent upon just a few media outlets
right.
to get your word out.
Right.
Now, as conservative Republicans especially, we can get out there and talk about our issues, put together our coalition of people, and move agendas forward.
We're talking with Vic Williams. Vic is a former Arizona state lawmaker. He's running in District 1 in a somewhat crowded Republican primary so far. Several candidates have jumped in. So we've talked a little bit about roads, Vic. We've talked about economic development. What else is on your platform agenda?
Well, you know, you're basically going over the platform agenda right there. And, you know, seeing that we move towards better infrastructure in Pima County, that we deal with corruption here locally and basically almost theft of taxpayer dollars. You've taken a look at what's gone on over the last decade with Rio Nuevo money just being squandered, $250 million. And, you know, when we served in the state legislature, that's something that we fixed. We changed the dynamics of Rio Nuevo board to have a conservative appointees put on those boards so we could get things done. And I'm looking forward to getting into Pima County government so we can use the dais. I can use the dais of the Pima County Board of Supervisors to continue that message of what we need for infrastructures, roads, sewer systems, hospitals in this area so we're more attractive to business. Also use the platform of the Pima County Board of Supervisors to start talking about a long-term agenda that melds our business interests as well as the basic voters throughout all of this region so we have a better opportunity and also develop a level playing field where everyone can be involved and prosper in. And that's something that's really important as far as I'm concerned.
What's the process been, Vic Williams, reintroducing yourself to the voters? Because you did serve 8 years ago. So are you finding folks remember your days in the legislature?
Yeah.
How's that gone?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've walked to several hundred homes. I've talked to hundreds of people at their doorsteps and so forth. Plus, I call out to people in the community, pick up the phone, people I've dealt with over the years. People remember who I am. And the voters who don't remember who I am in the legislative district sure remember what we did as a conservative legislative body in the state of Arizona, campaigning back in 2008 for SB 1070, state-based illegal immigration laws, passing that law, and then ultimately seeing that law be championed by our president, Donald Trump, someone who I greatly support, and, you know, cutting our budgets in the state of Arizona during their economic crisis by 25%. We cut $2.5 billion out of spending and made some hard choices, had the opportunity to be endorsed by the NRA, vote pro-life. And so people remember the things that I did in the legislature, and a lot of people welcome me at their doors, people I saw 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and it's really heartfelt, and I'm glad that I'm having the opportunity to rediscuss these issues with voters and get back out there and meet with them and again, listen to their needs. And as we do that, they'll be setting who we become and what this agenda will be if I'm fortunate enough to serve.
Did you say you came to Arizona originally 17 years ago?
May of 2003.
Where were you coming from? Where are you from?
Born and raised in Whittier, California, the home of Richard Nixon.
Okay.
My businesses were near there and yeah, that's my background.
All right. Vic Williams, where can people find out more about you? Do you have the website up and running?
Yeah, absolutely. Vote4vic.com, number 4, V-I-C, 4, VOTE for vic.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I'm just asking your voters, please consider me based on my 30 years of business experience, based on my legislative background, what I've done on that. Also, my community service work throughout this community over the years. I have a far reach into the community. I've been rather involved the entire time I've been here and very passionate about Southern Arizona, which I cherish and love very much.
Vic Williams, good to reconnect with you.
Hey, thank you very much, Bill. You have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Vic Williams with us, District 1 Republican in the Pima County Supervisor's race. On behalf of Mr. Williams and Tom Callahan, my engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.